Blog Talk Radio.
Finally, I'm finally free. Finally, I'm finally me. Finally, I'm finally free. Finally, I'm finally me.
La da da.
My name is Jamie. I am your host. Tonight's episode is Blurred Parenting. So we will have a panel who's going to discuss what it's like raising their kids to be nerdy, as well as the effects of nerd culture in today's family. Before we get started on our panel, I just wanted to make a few announcements. Thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone who have purchased coffee mugs and various items from Zazzle. Your support's always appreciated, and I really appreciate you guys also tweeting photos of your merchandise, so continue to do that, and thank you again. The money's for investing in those products does go back to the podcast, so thank you. And it's Zazzle.com, Blurredgasm, B-L-E-R-D-G-A-S-M, if you want to check out the Zazzle store. And also, as a way of giving my gratitude and our gratitude back to you guys for your support, stay tuned to the Black Girl Nerds website. Also, check out the Twitter feed from Black Girl Nerds. It's at Black Girl Nerds on Twitter. We have a giveaway that's coming up this week, giving away 2 tickets. I'm going to keep it cryptic, so before anything's finalized, but it's going to be a really, really good giveaway that I think all of you guys will love. So stay tuned for that. Our panel tonight is a group of moms who are self-declared blurreds, and they're going to talk about raising their kids to be the future nerds of America. So our guests are Shelly, Brittany, Marilyn, and Twyla. What I want to do in that order, if you guys can each introduce yourselves as well as give us your social media contacts and shout-outs, and also tell us the name of your kids and how old they are.
Okay, I will go first. Hi, this is Shelly Ellis. I am an author and I'm a magazine editor. I have the website www.shellyellisbook.com. I have a book coming out in August 27th. That will be my second book. And I am the mother of an infant. Her name is Chloe Morgan, and she is 4 months old.
Hey, guys. My name is Brittany. I run a blog called The Lows and Woes of a Natural Girl. You can also find me on Twitter. It is naturalgirl89. And I'd love if you just want to randomly send me a message or tweet me or anything like that. I have a three-year-old named Olivia Simone. She's my only one. I think she is going to be my only one. And that's about it.
Okay. And was I next, Marilyn?
Yes.
Sorry. I lost it. Well, I'm Marilyn, and you can find me on Twitter as PolyMathChick, and on Facebook, I am Marilyn Audueni. I am a naturopath and nutrition consultant. I also work as a yoga instructor. I write blogs and a few other things, and I have two children. My oldest child is John. He is 12 years old, and my younger is Sade, and she is 8 years old. And that's it. Give me a shout-out anytime.
Hello, everybody. I'm Twyla Dang, and, well, the easiest way to describe it is I work in radio. I host a radio show here in Minneapolis. All of my social media things are super boring because I use my own name. So my Twitter handle is Twyla Dang. My Facebook, Twyla Dang. I also run a website called Pop Culture Parent, which is at popcultureparent.com. And I have a second Twitter handle at PC Parent. And that just basically talks the intersection of – it talks about the intersection between parenting and pop culture, which is an extension of what I do with my radio work. I have three babies. My oldest is VJ. He's 10. My middle is Jackson, and she's 8. And my baby girl is Tatum, and she's 4. She'll be 5 next month.
Aw, thanks, moms. Well, so for those of you that are listening, if you want to participate in our discussion, you can call us live. Our phone number is 347-237-4616. Or you can participate via Twitter and ask us questions or leave us comments. We love comments as well. And it's the hashtag BGN podcast. All right. So my first question to you ladies is, growing up, did your parents encourage you to embrace your nerd?
I don't know.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. My parents didn't really. They weren't really into anything like that. I had two older brothers, and that's kind of where I got my nerdiness from. They were big comic book lovers, and I was, you know, the youngest child, so I pretty much went wherever they went.
Well, my mother and father did not. They didn't. My mom didn't get it, and I was a super tomboy, and she just, to her, it felt like I was getting weirder by the second. So I started out, you know, in comic books, and then I wanted to read manga, and then I wanted to draw comics and write stories and wear pants with my dresses, and it was just, it was too much for her across the board. So she tolerated it, but they certainly didn't encourage it.
I think, this is Shelly, I think it is similar for me. I will say, though, that my parents didn't really, the label nerd isn't something that I got until I was older. I'm like, my dad was into comic books and kung fu movies, and so I grew up with that, and he would take me to the comic book stores and arcades with him when I was younger, so that was just perfectly normal for me. I didn't know until I got older that, oh, girls don't really do stuff like this. And so for my mom, who I will say she has nerdy tendencies, but she is definitely more of a people person. It was kind of off-putting to her to have a daughter who was very awkward, who wore combat boots. It was just like, for her, it was more like, I don't understand why you're rebelling so much, when I would come home and talk about how people had made fun of me. And she would be like, but you know what you have to do to keep them from doing that, so why don't you just, like, assimilate or adapt? And for me, it was a frustration because I felt that she had nerdiness in her, but she didn't acknowledge it. I don't know.
I definitely think for me it's about the same. My parents, well, I'll say my dad, he definitely had nerdy tendencies. He was a big reader and a writer as well, and was definitely an introvert and would spend hours by himself with his books and papers and things like that. And so it kind of rubbed off on me in that area. But otherwise, as far as being into comic books and video games and sports and all kinds of other things, that definitely came, well, not that sports are all that nerdy, but, you know, just being a tomboy in general came from my brother. I followed him around a lot. I had two other sisters, but I had really very little interest in them. It was really just my brother that I wanted to be around and do whatever he was doing, and I'll definitely say I got a lot of my nerdy tendencies from him, and then eventually, you know, found my own crowd later on in school and things like that, but that's pretty much it for me.
At what age do you guys suggest that parents should start raising their kids to be nerdy? Is that relevant? Does that matter?
Oh, I started right out the gate.
First.
Yeah. I mean, can you guys raise, like, I have a baby. Can you raise a kid to be nerdy?
Yeah, I think, Olivia's underneath me, and she kind of, it's starting to pick up when me and Rocky do things. Like, when you go to comic book store, she's asking, what's this, what's that, you know?
Okay.
I can't say anything. My kids got, for Christmas, when they were a baby and a toddler, they got Heroes t-shirts. We all got, like, family ones. And my son's shirt said, like, I can change the space-time continuum and everything. And we get so I guess as much as you can try to raise them that way. I think I have just tried to make it wide open so that they can have as much of the experience as they want to have.
Yeah.
For me, I think just from the beginning, I think just kind of labeling things as nerdy or not nerdy, like for me, I think the entire experience of being a nerd is just being able to let them be as passionate as they want to be about whatever they really love, whether it's considered, you know, cool or not, or by, you know, the general public or by society at large. And so, you know, whatever I'm into, I definitely, right from the beginning, started exposing them to that. And as soon as they showed interest in anything themselves, I was all over it, trying to make sure that they got as much experience in that as well, and that they felt really secure in being able to go as nuts about it as they wanted to.
Okay, because I was, like, interested in hearing the answer that you guys had, because I had a discussion with my husband, because he's a nerd. He's not a black nerd, but he's a nerd. And I was like, what if she's a social butterfly? Should we do the opposite, impose our viewpoint of nerdiness onto her because we're nerds? Was it fair when people did the opposite to us?
Oh, no, it doesn't have to be that way at all. It's my 8-year-old, we call her Miss America. Everyone loves her. She knows everyone. She is way more social than I will probably ever be in my life. But within that, I can encourage her to be herself fully, But she also walked around my house today sporting a pair of old sunglasses and said, Mom, look, I look nerdy and it's so cute. So there's room. I think what Marilyn said about passion is such so important. It's allowing your kids to have and follow the things that they're passionate about. I think that's kind of the definition of what really being a true nerd is that we're allowed to go sort of in the deep dive on whatever it is we love unapologetically. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. And I think also with respect to being a social butterfly, you can be an extrovert and still be a nerd, and you can funnel that into other activities. I mean, she could turn out to be a member of the debate team or something. Like, I think you can still have extroverted personality and still be into nerdy things. So.
And that is totally true. But I guess for me, I guess extroverts can also be nerdy. I don't know too many, but there can be. But for me, it was more like, but what if she's not interested in any of the things that we're interested in that we consider nerdy? Or she's like, I'm not really into that. I don't want to, and I guess I agree with you guys in that I want to keep things open for her so that if she is into nerdy things like cosplay or comics, then I'm like, go for it. But if she isn't, I don't want to impose my viewpoint of nerdiness of the world onto her.
That's what makes you a good nerd, that you understand that and you see it. Like, it's not something you have to recognize. You already know.
And
that's the beauty about nerdiness. It doesn't have to constitute specific things. You don't have to be a gamer or a comic book nerd to classify as being a nerd. You can be an art nerd or a music nerd. Mm-hmm. So it's about funneling those activities that are positive and whatever is a passion of theirs that they feel gifted in, encouraging them to be engaged in those activities. So... And this leads me to my next question, actually. A lot of parents encourage their kids to partake in sports and cheerleading and other social activities. But what about non-social activities like computer programming, science, and math? Should parents reward their kids for more non-social activities? Or is there an advantage, a disadvantage? What are your thoughts on that?
It's all across the board to me, I think, because my kids do all of the above. You know, they are involved in different sports throughout the year, and then also they go to computer camps. They go to, you know, just everything. So it's whatever they want to do. And I, just like we were saying previously, just leaving the field completely open to whatever they really love and whatever they're interested in. If they show even a modicum of interest in something, really letting them run with that and feeling it out until they decide they either are excited about it or that they'd rather just not be bothered, you know.
Yeah, we do that too. My kids play baseball, but my son has also just signed up for Lego Robotics. He's going to be competing this year in building a robot. So that's, you know, it goes back to sort of that passion discussion. He loves Legos. Coding is all the rage, and the two intersected, and I jumped on that like nobody's business.
Yeah. My son was in robotics for several years, and that was something that he was excited about, like, intensely until he wasn't, you know, and then that was it. And we left it alone. So it's kind of, and that's, you know, the way I think people in general, but particularly kids are, that they really fall for something and they get tunnel vision with it for a week or a month or 2 years, and then, you know, and you just know that they're going to grow up to be this, you know, robotics technician, and then, you know, they decide that, you know what, I think I'd rather just go, you know, write a book or something like that, you know.
Got a couple of comments on Twitter. Robert Young says, "Hey, now we're social." Robert Young is a computer programmer, so I guess he resents the non-social comment. I wasn't.
Oh my god.
Okay.
Oh my god, you guys are social butterflies. Fine.
And then Ashley at Must Love Horror, she mentions that Tracy Flick from Election is the epitome of what an extrovert nerd is, which, yeah, I totally agree with that. Tracy Flick was.
Yeah, Tracy was also a sociopath, though.
That's a good example.
I second that emotion.
We've got a few people on the line. I'm not sure if folks are calling in to listen to us or to talk to us. So I know there's a couple of callers that are just listening. I'm going to bring in area code 253. And if you're just calling in to listen, that's fine. I'll put you back on mute. Area code 253, you're on the air with Black Girl Nerds. What's your name and where are you from?
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Oh, hey. I was just, my name is Reggie Mosby, RM Square Productions on Twitter.
Nice. Reggie,
hello.
Were you calling to listen in? Or
calling to listen.
Okay.
But,
I'm his wife, and we're nerd parents, and we're proud.
Yes.
Yay!
We're huge nerds. We want to go to Comic-Con for our anniversary.
Yep.
Don't judge us.
No
judgment.
That's a beautiful thing.
I'm not judging you.
Yeah, and it's really nice that y'all are talking about this comic. Like my wife said, we're both, you know, huge nerds like she is. What's up? What you doing in school or your internship?
I'm a nursing major, and I want to get my PhD in research and development with an emphasis in using bacteriophages as antibiotics. So this summer I'm interning at the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory in Richland, Washington.
Wow. Super nerd. That's awesome.
Super nerd.
I'm a nerd with an ass on my chest. I am. But it's okay.
And then me, you know, first I have, if people have seen him, I got my art, and I'm going back to school for web database development. So,
wow.
We have three kids. We have a 7-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old. So, you know, we make sure that, you know, all the things that we teach them are actually getting embedded into their heads. But, you know, I mean, if they turn out to be nerds like us, you know, it's fine, but, you know, they're not going to be stupid. You know?
Right. Obviously, they come from very
right.
That's not a nice word. Say uneducated.
Okay, I'm sorry. Uneducated, yes. I enjoy every show that y'all do, and y'all just keep up the great work, and that is our piece.
Well, thank you for listening in.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
Your support.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
All right. Take care. Okay, so it's good that they brought that up. They actually mentioned Comic-Con, and that was my next question, parents and cosplay. A lot of geeky parents dress up their kids and take them to comic cons. How do you feel about dressing your kid up and engaging in cosplay?
My kid would be mad if I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, kids
well,
don't really
like
it. Oh, I don't want to play dress up.
Yeah. Well, maybe you're not like forcing them into a costume, are you?
Yeah.
I mean, you're letting them pick their character, right?
You're going to put them on a costume, maybe. I don't know.
And, okay, we'll go full tilt for like Halloween, but we don't cosplay. We don't go to like conventions or do any of that yet. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
Although I saw the Warriors on Friday night, and I'm dying to dress my kid up like the Warriors for Halloween this year. I really am.
I love the Warriors.
Yeah.
Okay.
We definitely do Halloween, and we've gone to some cons, like some of the smaller cons, like MomoCon in my area, are very kid and family friendly, and I let them decide if they want to dress up or not, and how much they want to participate in actually making costumes or whatever the case may be, or if they just want to buy one. And my daughter, who's our social butterfly over here, she usually will want to dress up if, you know, she goes at all, and my son would normally just want to rock his, you know, superhero shirt and just, you know, whatever. He's not one for dressing up too much since he was younger. Now that he's, you know, older, he feels like he wants to stay under the radar more, but I pretty much just let them choose, and they have a lot of fun with it. They really enjoy The cons, when they go, they love going there to see the cosplay more so than anything else.
Awesome. Good stuff. Well, Brittany, you were about to say something. I heard
well,
you.
Well, Olivia's only two, so I want to kind of wait and see what she wants to do. I don't want to force it on her.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Because it's just awkward to force your child to be like Mystique or something. Like, get a Comic-Con or like...
I would completely agree with that.
Like,
yeah.
I've seen people force their children to do it. I don't think that's really cool.
Yeah, if the kids don't look happy, it's kind of, you know, pathetic to me, you know.
Yeah.
So this is
walking around looking miserable.
Yeah.
So this is news to me, because I didn't know this. So a lot of parents are forcing their kids to dress up, because some of the pictures I see, they look happy, but I didn't know that. I figured that the kids is like, oh, yay, I get to play dress up, because all kids like that.
Mm-hmm. No, there's some pictures out there with kids. There's some miserable kids out there on the internet. I'll post those miserable pictures though.
Oh, hashtag miserable cosplay kids.
I will say
right.
My husband got really excited when he saw some little girl. I think it was on the web that she came dressed as Darth Vader, but she came in pink.
Yeah,
and she had like a little flower on her helmet. It was so cute. And
aww.
He's like, I want Chloe to wear that. I was like, yeah, well, we'll see.
So we've got some folks holding. I'm going to check the next caller, see if you're either listening or you want to talk to us. Area code 901, you're on the air with Black Girl Nerds. What's your name and where are you from? Hello? Okay. You're probably just listening. That's okay. And then we got another caller. Caller, area code 931. You're on the air with Black Girl Nerds. What's your name and where are you from?
Just listening.
Okay, cool. Got a lot of listeners on the line. Okay. So,
don't be afraid of us. We're nice. We're moms.
I know. You can talk to us. You really can. You won't bite. Promise. Have you guys heard of code.org?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Through you.
They're really rallying to help bridge the digital divide among youth and encourage them to learn how to code, which I think is really important and essential. And they're trying to make it mandatory to take computer programming in school, because when I was in school, it was an elective. Like, that was something that was optional. You didn't have to take computer programming. So what are your thoughts about encouraging your kids to learn to code, and when do you think is the best age to take on the task of computer programming?
As early as possible. My daughter started learning at 7. I'm actually teaching my just, you know, full disclosure, I homeschool my kids, so they are with me, and they, I started teaching both of them coding as early as I possibly could. I began just like with Visual Basic, and my daughter is learning that right now. My son has moved on to doing like C#, and he's going to be learning Java. He ultimately wants to program and develop for Android and things like that. So they grasp it really quickly, you know, and there's a lot of programs out there that make it very simple to teach children coding. And so I think as soon as you think your child, I would say even try it, you know, as soon as you can. And then if it seems like it's that they're not grasping it, then give it some time. But as soon as you think they can grasp it and that they'd be interested to go for it. And it's definitely a skill that no matter what they do later in life that they can utilize and will prove to be very worthwhile here on.
Yeah. I think it's become part of the new economy, as it were, you know, having that as a skill set. So we've encouraged it in our family the same way we're encouraging learning multiple languages. We just feel like those are things that will benefit them. So we're not trying to sort of force it on them, but if they're showing an interest, we're pursuing it. That's where this Lego robotics thing came from. Both of my older children are in gifted and talented programs at school, and we've just done our best to sort of pay attention and take the cues and go, here, check this out. What do you think of it? So So if they, you know, if we get pushback, then we're willing to say, okay, well, they're not really interested in it. But both of my kids are so into tech and technology that it feels like they're just waiting for somebody to show them how.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think for the most part,
say something.
Okay.
I'm about to say something controversial again, like the social butterfly statement.
Oh, Lord.
As a former computer science major that turned into a journalism major, I will say that computer programming turned out to be something that wasn't my thing. So I guess I would be more inclined as a mom to be like, okay, you can take it. I don't know about making it mandatory. I can see that, especially among minorities, there definitely needs to be more of a push to encourage participation between the math and in the math and sciences. But I also think that it's okay to be a liberal arts nerd and not be a science or math nerd. So to make it mandatory, to me, if it's a skill set that she isn't really embracing and it's something that she doesn't want to do, I don't know about that.
I definitely don't think that mandatory is the way to go. I think I agree with you. I think that they should get exposure to it and be allowed to make the choice whether or not they want to continue doing it. And that's
okay.
But I think
I'm a tiger mom. I'm doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I think too that, but there's other courses that are mandatory that we have to take. Like, I hated math, and we have to take math in school in order to graduate. So I just think that obviously they don't have to pursue that as a career afterward, but to have those skills just even at a basic level I think is important because eventually, you know, we're in a technology age, in a digital age, rather, where we're looking for computers to do everything for us.
Completely agree, but to me it's like, in some schools, music and art aren't necessarily mandatory either. And so that's what I'm saying, that there are some things that children can be particularly good at and to say, like, okay, this is more important than this because it has adaptability within the business world, to me is, and I think that's too where you get into the philosophy of parenting, is that each person is going to raise their kid different. For me, like I said, because I started off in the science and math field, and I found out that this wasn't something I was good at or something I particularly liked. And when I went to more liberal arts and I felt that I did better and I got a career in it and I was able to participate in society and everything, that to me there's more than one pathway to follow is what I'm saying. I think you should definitely offer it to children. I think you should encourage them if they excel at it. But like I said, I'm on really not comfortable with the mandatory element.
I definitely agree with you on that. I think even from what you said, Jamie, with us taking things like math and certain classes throughout school or whatever, I think a lot of times people are or were made to take classes or participate in certain things that aren't necessarily inspiring us to really do anything. You know, we're just kind of doing it because we have to. And I think when you put children or people, human beings, period, in a situation where they can actually be inspired, that they flourish and do much better. I definitely think at a basic level, it's good to expose them to everything, you know, and let them, you know, see it and experience it. But definitely let them take the reins when it comes to deciding, okay, I want to move forward with this after a certain point, or I really don't like this, and I'd rather go do something else. And let that be okay.
I'm gonna be a bit of the devil's advocate. It doesn't bother me the concept of having certain things be mandatory, just because there's a set of life skills that I want my kids to have to go out in the world in. They might not use them that much, but they'll have them when they get there. So I'm okay. Like my kids, it's gonna be mandatory for them to have some sort of financial literacy training. They need to know how to handle money. We have our kids in music lessons because, one, music is a great pathway and it's a life skill. You'll be able to use it and sort of spin yourself into all different directions in the world having a skill like being able to play the piano. Language. I want my kids to be able to travel and comfortably travel and not be treated like ugly Americans when they go somewhere else. And I kind of feel the same way with the coding. This is a whole new sort of landscape out there. I don't know that landscape, so I'm woefully lost when people start talking about apps and coding and Visual Basic. But if my kids can have a skill set that lets them at least understand it,
right.
I want them to have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fair.
Mm-hmm. I personally feel like there's not much that people that they want to do. Like I guess the concept is like the hooks to hang things on. If early on in their life, like right now, my kids at a younger age, they're being exposed to all of these things. They've all done the music and everything else and just about whatever else that either I've been interested in them doing or they've personally been interested in doing. And at a certain point, when they've decided that they didn't want to continue it, I felt like they've got the experience and they've got the basics. And if they decide that they want to try it again later on, they have somewhere to pull from. They have something to say, okay, I've got at least this basic level of knowledge here. But I think a lot of times we're kind of, I forget what the expression is, but when we're kind of fueling people and children with things that kind of can end up being inconsequential to them in their life, doesn't give them a lot of the room that they need to really become excellent in things that they can be really passionate about. And as adults, I feel like a lot of the things that people really excel in, they did because they wanted to, you know. And if there's nothing that anybody really wants to do, that they're not going to find a pathway to get themselves there. So if they have that basic experience and then they decide later on that they really want to do something else and maybe they didn't finish it out as a kid, that desire and that inspiration to do so is going to drive them to do whatever it takes to get to point B. And I feel like that's really the best place to leave things like that.
We got a question on Twitter from Tanella0426. She asks, is there a certain thing as overexposure to nerdy things when it comes concerning your children?
Yes. When your kid can't have a decent conversation with another human being, but they know all of the characters in the backstory for Lord of the Rings, you might have done too much.
Oh, Lord.
I don't know. Like, overexposure in what sense? Like, if you are just inundating them with things that you're only interested in, it goes back to that conversation where we don't want to place our own interests on our kids, because we want to encourage them to be their own person. So, for example, if you're someone that's into gaming, exposing your kids to gaming, you know, for an extensive period of time, is that something that we should encourage, or is that something that's very discouraging because you're leading your kid down a path that you're interested in and not what they may, you know, they may want to be a bookworm and want to read books or something like that. So, overexposure in that sense, what are your thoughts about that?
I don't know. I think moderation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think exposure is one thing. It's more like if you're making them do things, you know, that they don't want to do, that's a whole different thing, as opposed to exposing them to maybe your passions and just kind of letting them see you be passionate and allowing them, if they choose to, be a part of something. But if it's a matter of making them do all of those things and they really don't want to, and you're just kind of, you know, making them miserable, then that's a whole different story.
Well, and there's a big difference between exposing and indoctrinating. Like, my kids are exposed to a lot of it because I'm just a walking nerd. And so they see my, you know, horn-rimmed glasses, and they have to hear the K-pop when I put it on in the car, and they're with me at the comic book store. But I don't necessarily make them sit down and read, you know, all of the things that I'm reading. I don't make them sit down and learn all of the words to the songs or what have you. They're getting exposed to it because they're around me every day. And when they're interested, they'll ask. And when they're not interested, they're very vocal, because kids are always very vocal. And that's kind of where the line is. As a parent, half your job is not embarrassing them. Half of your job is recognizing, you know, what is recognizing who they are and who they're becoming and allowing them the space to do that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I would agree.
What about raising your son or daughter to be a geek? We've kind of established in previous podcasts the differences between nerd and geek. And I kind of spoke to this on my earlier point addressing Tanella's question. What are your thoughts about parents having their children participate in their own obsessions like gaming, music, sci-fi conventions, anime? Is it okay to share your geeky obsessions with your kid? I know we mentioned moderation, but overall, what are your thoughts about that?
I think it's okay to show them what you're doing. Like, once again, what you're saying, moderation, you don't need to force your child to do it. But, you know, I guess you can let them follow. I mean, that could be something you say, well, Olivia, I like to do this. Let me show you what I do and see if she takes interest in it. But I definitely don't think you should force your child to do it.
I would agree.
I agree with that.
They did.
I read a book. I read a book called Bringing Up Geeks by Mary Beth Hicks, and she like abbreviates geek as genuine, enthusiastic, empowered kids. And just to me, just you know, raising
like
kids to be as genuine as possible. You know, really be who they are and enthusiastic about things that they love and life in general, and empowered to be that without feeling like they have to try and fit in or whatever the case may be. And to me, that's really what being a geek and even, you know, a nerd is too. And as long as that's kind of the way that things are going, you know, my kids can't stand Doctor Who, you know. They won't sit and watch it with me. I don't know why. You know, I can't understand it, but they don't like Doctor Who and they won't watch it with me. You know, and they, you know, love gaming, and there's some of my music that they don't like. And, you know, my son is into anime, my daughter's not. And I mean, so there's, you know, a whole host of different things that that they enjoy that I don't, and things that I enjoy that we can enjoy together. But I feel like as long as we're just letting them be who they are, then we're, you know, letting them be geeks.
Right. What would you say?
It can also be like, oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead, Shelley.
I think it can also be a way to bond with your kid.
Mm-hmm.
I will, with my dad, from the perspective of a kid with a parent, like, his geekiness was comic books. So he's like, okay, you put it in the plastic, and this is what you do. And so he went through a whole system of comic books and how, and the series and the numbers and tracking. And so it was really intense and geeky, but it was something my dad was passionate about, and it was how we bonded together. I put my comic books in plastic, and I put them in date order, and I won't remember what edition I had. And so to me, it's something that it's like bonding with your kid over baseball. Like, no one would say, like, oh, you shouldn't force baseball into your kids because what if they don't like baseball? It's like, well, they might not, but it's just something that you're passionate about. If they're passionate about it too, it could just be a way for you to bond with each other. And I think with children will give you pushback anyway. So if they don't like it, I'm pretty sure they'll let you know they don't like it.
On Twitter, Kat Calvin just tweeted, if my kids don't like Doctor Who, they're going to an orphanage.
Wow.
Believe me, I've considered it. I've considered training camps and all different kinds of things, but none of that fits.
So what is the nerdiest thing you've ever done with your kid?
Oh, there's so many.
I'm like, where do I start? Right now, my son and I, we're like doing we're planning it anyway. We've been playing a lot of Minecraft, and he, you know, like, we're like recording this little Minecraft series that we want to put on YouTube of, you know, our gameplays and things like that. So that's probably the nerdiest thing we're doing right now together.
Well, Olivia's little, but I know she likes to sing the Big Bang Theory theme song.
Okay, that's adorable.
She hits her hands on her legs with the beat, and then at the end when they say Big Bang, you know, she yells it, and then she says, yay, you know. And I was, she loved that show, which is weird. But I would say that's probably the nerdiest thing.
My son and I wrote each other, we took all of last school year and we wrote each other science fiction stories. He wrote one for me and I wrote one for him.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're just for us. They're not, you know, they're not really for public consumption or anything, but he wanted us to do something like together, and he's kind of always in contest mode. And so it's like, well, you write one for me, I'll write one for you. His turned out infinitely better than mine. But it was really cool. It was really cool.
Awesome. And I do all my kids do rally up once a year for Free Comic Book Day, and we wait in front of the door till they open it.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And then spend the entire day, like, we have a budget, and we get the free stuff, and then we pick some stuff out, and we pick out obscure stuff when they run the sale, and go through all the cards. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a full geek fest that day.
Yeah, definitely. That's something we do. That's awesome. Have you ever done, like, NaNoWriMo with your son?
No, what's that?
That's because November is National Novel Writing Month. That's like NaNoWriMo, and they have like, you know, where you just kind of, there's like these in journals or whatever that you can print out, and you just kind of get your ideas out and write out your entire, whether it's a short story, novel, whatever it is. And so my son and I have.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
I've never heard of that, but that's so cool.
Me either. Wait, but writing down now, November.
Yeah, and it helps encourage you to just focus on writing and to set goals for yourself. So, yeah, I've heard of NaNoWriMo, and it's really great, especially if you're someone who just suffers from writer's block, which I do a lot, just forcing yourself to put something on the page or to type something.
Exactly.
NaNoWriMo is really good about that. So, yeah, I'll tweet that information out for you guys.
Like
so
that.
We got a couple folks that's called in. I don't know if they're listening or not, but we'll patch them in anyway. Area code 313, you're on the air with Black Girl Nerds. What's your name and where are you from?
Oh, I'm on?
Yeah.
Yes, this is Jason. This ain't Jason.
Oh, hey, Jason. What's up?
Hey, Jason.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
Hey.
Good. I just retweeted you.
I'm very happy with where the conversation is going, especially about it seems like it's starting to shift towards letting kids find their own path and what they're doing. And that, I know for myself, that's really important to me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Because it just seems to me that it's more about letting my kids understand that whatever they're into, it's okay to be into that. And it's really interesting watching them find their own path and find their own, like the fact that mine are just completely into Adventure Time. Like it's amazing watching them do that, because it's they're into it the same way I was into my stuff, like Robotech and anime and Transformers, and letting them understand that it doesn't matter what other people think about that. It's okay. It's fine. You know, do your thing and let your own personality come through. It doesn't matter what other people are paying attention to, whether they agree with it or not.
Absolutely.
Right. What kind of nerdy things do you participate with your kids, Jason?
I would say our main thing is comic book movies. That has to be. Probably watching The Avengers with my kids was easily one of the highlights of my parenthood, because just the fight scenes and when Hulk, I swear, like, it was a bonding moment, me and my son, when Hulk punched the thing, y'all, and everybody knows what I'm talking about, so I don't have to explain.
Yeah,
but anyway,
that moment
with my kids, just all of us, it will stay with me forever.
Oh, that's the best.
Nice.
No, I have a little bit of a
phone.
Go ahead. Oh, I have a little bit of a piggyback question, and Jason, you can answer this too. Okay, when your kids do find that thing that they go all in on, and they're like totally in it, like it's Adventure Time, or for my kid, it's like Percy Jackson. Okay, this is, I guess, where it's coming home to roost from when I was a kid. Sometimes he goes so far into the details that my eyes cross, and I'm like, I can't take any more details. Like, where do you, now, as true nerds who inflict this on other people, how do you find the resolve to really just sort of take that deep breath and go, okay, yeah, tell me about Perseus again. That's awesome. Yeah.
Oh, I don't. Okay. I don't find a resolve. I glaze over just like most people do. But what I try to do is I think that's incredibly important because that specific moment, that's the thing, is when they're just completely in love with their thing, letting them just be in love with it. And I try to find the resolve to be interested in it, and sometimes I flat out not, because the way my son is into Minecraft, I mean, there's no way I'm going to keep that enthusiasm going for every single time he tells me what he found, what mineral he found. But I just want, what's more important, that he knows that it's okay that he likes it. Because I think it's a good example, because he is convinced that people will think he's weird, which is, I think, what a lot of us can appreciate sometimes. But it's another good example of something where it's like everybody, you know, all the kids are into that right now. So, you know, just letting him understand that what he's in love with, it's fine. You know, just go all in. Go all in.
Awesome, Jason. Well, thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you very much, guys. Have a good night.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
And that definitely speaks on one level to me with my son, because I had, I think for him, understanding that being a geek or a nerd or whatever is really okay, and not to take whatever negative connotations that people might try to attach to it, because we have some neighbors in our, some other kids in our neighborhood who are in and out of my house all the time. And my son is always, you know, like on the computer doing one thing or the other, Minecraft or graphics or whatever else that he's doing. And, you know, we had kids come in at one point, and they're like, you know, he's always on the computer. And, I mean, right there, actually, I was there one day when he said, oh, he's such a geek, you know. And it was funny, you know, he said, well, that's okay. That's just, you know, what I do. And we ended up having this long conversation with him and a couple of other kids from the neighborhood about why it was okay that he was a geek and some of the things that they did that might be geeky. And, you know, and really had one of those, you know, powwow moments where they kind of started feeling pretty okay. And from that point forward, they really, you know, it seemed like this has helped them, some of the people that he spends time with, also feel more, you know, okay about just really being into stuff. Because a lot of times kids, when it comes to like peer pressure and things like that, feel like they have to let go of certain things or not be as excited or tone it down a little bit just so that people don't think that they're strange or they're weird or whatever. And I think it's great for kids to learn that they don't really have to, you know, they can just be as openly excited about it and maybe even take that as an opportunity to bring other people into the fold.
I've always taught my kids the expression, what other people think of you is none of your business.
Exactly. Well, we got another caller on the line, so I'm going to bring you in. Area code 281. You're on the air with Black Girl Nerds. What's your name and where are you from?
Hi, this is Yui here. I apologize. I was supposed to be joining you guys, but as a mom of babies, left curve and one, I had to go take him somewhere, and he fell down, and so we had to go and patch him up. So,
are you okay?
I've been so excited to be a part of this conversation, but I was excited to catch what I caught, and I'm really glad to be able to just talk to you guys.
Hi.
Excited.
Hi.
About this conversation. Hi, guys.
So everything's all right, though, right?
Baby's good. Just, you know, one of those things where you turn around and next me know it, they've fallen off of something. So, we're all good. So we're all good. So I tweet with, you know, under Baby Blurred, and it's really fun. And one of the things that I'm super passionate about is the idea that being a nerd to me, the connotation that I grew up with, I'm from the UK, so definitely have an interesting perspective on kind of being in America and kind of understanding the culture of being a smart kid. And back when I was growing up, I initially grew up outside of London, and I had gone to a very diverse school, and and being smart, you know, even as a black girl was just fine. It was fine, and everybody really wanted to do well at school. It was only when I moved into kind of the inner city, I guess you would describe it, when my parents, my dad relocated and he got a new job and we moved to the inner city, and then it became really painfully aware that it was odd for me to be a black girl and really love to study and be smart and be at the top of my class. And so for me, what I've really held on to, and what I'm teaching my kids and my, you know, my nieces and nephews, to be proud to be smart, to want to be smart. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of being a nerd is I'm turning it into a positive. And for me, and what I'm, you know, what I'm raising my children to have a love for is learning, is to really love learning and not to be ashamed to put their hand up in class, not to be ashamed to want to do their work well, to, you know, go above and beyond. I really want to make them proud of having that passion for learning. And so I guess, you know, to the panel, I wanted to kind of understand how much are you bringing, you know, as much as, you know, we all can geek out and nerd out on certain subjects, but how much is just, school excellence and being smart, how much is that kind of being factored into the way that you're raising your children? And is that something you found to be a negative stereotype?
Oh, well, my husband's Vietnamese, so we have my kids have a tiger mom and a tiger dad. So excellence is required in our house. Mm-hmm. But we've always been a house that we encourage learning. We always tell our kids, if you do your absolute best, you'll never be disappointed with your results.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, I definitely want to encourage Olivia to, you know, be the best in school. I mean, I wish I was encouraged a little bit more when I was younger. So I definitely want to encourage my child. It's okay to be into math, into science. You know, it's okay to be smart, you know. So I definitely want to encourage my child that it's okay to be educated.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I would agree. I think the other aspect that I want to teach Chloe as she gets older, and it was kind of hard for me when I was younger, is that being a nerd is that sometimes you don't, even though you may be the smartest kid or you're getting the best grades, or like I was like the editor of the school newspaper and yearbook at the same time, you don't necessarily get affirmation from the world outside.
Mm-hmm.
You need to feel confident and capable in what you're doing without people saying, like, oh, you're so smart, and oh, you're so great, because sometimes actually they'll say the opposite. They'll make you feel bad for your achievements. So don't look for the outside world to tell you that what you're doing is cool. Have enough confidence in yourself and your achievements that you're comfortable with yourself. And that's part of, to me, being a nerd is that and I guess that's what I meant by being the social butterfly, is that sometimes the stuff that you like is not necessarily going to be what everyone likes. And the stuff that you think is cool isn't going to be what everyone thinks is cool. So just, you don't need this circle of people to tell you how great you are. You're a great person by yourself.
Right.
I definitely have to agree with that. I think even going back to what Yewande was saying, that a lot of times when it comes to being an African-American, and particularly a girl, it seems odd to people and people can make you feel odd about it. So, like, just as I was mentioning earlier with my son, a lot of his friends made him feel odd about being smart. And, you know, and even sometimes the way that he speaks, you know, a lot of kids, you know, I'm sure we all know what I'm about to say, you know, they say
that
he doesn't talk like a black kid, you know, or that you know, and then looking into my daughter, because she is pretty tech savvy, and she likes, you know, math and a variety of other things, which are all things that I think consequently just in our house, it all kind of goes without saying, you know, is just doing your best and being the absolute best in whatever you do. And intelligence just kind of comes with the territory. And I want them to be proud of that and to embrace their intelligence. And I want her, especially since you know, she does, they both do a lot of sports, and she does things like dance and tumbling and whatever else, and she spends a lot of time around other girls, and sometimes she goes on talking about things like, you know, Minecraft, or she'll start talking about some classes that she's taken this summer. She took a robotics class, or she went to a robotics camp, and a lot of girls just don't get into that, and so it's hard for them to relate to her, and she felt really kind of uncomfortable with some of the girls that she was mixing with, and had a lot of friction initially. But, you know, I just had to keep encouraging her to, you know, just be yourself and be proud of who you are and do what you love and talk about it if you want to. You know, you don't have to try to change yourself to be accepted by everybody else around you. And eventually she, you know, found some people that she clicked with and who, you know, she understood and they understood her, and she was okay. But I think a lot of times as girls and as African-American girls in particular, you know, there's a certain stereotype that is pushed onto us and everything to have to be a certain way, and it can make things really uncomfortable, you know, if you don't have a really strong sense of yourself. And
right.
I think that's what we're all trying to instill in our kids. I say particularly our daughters, because even as African-Americans with boys, it's still easier for boys to be, you know, savvy in tech and math and all those other things, and it's more acceptable with them. Girls, it's that much harder, and I think that's where I try to put a lot of my focus.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we've extended this podcast an additional 30 minutes, so folks that are listening live can still hear us. But I'm glad that Ioane, that you spoke to the aspect of intellectualism in raising kids to be nerdy, because there was a piece that was written by LZ Granderson. I had posted it out on Twitter a few times. He wrote this piece on CNN called "Why I'm Raising My Kid to Be a Nerd," and I just wanted to read a quick excerpt from the article. He states, and I quote, "We know because of our culture's negative attitude toward nerds, our kids are discouraged from being bookish from an early age. We also know that there is a high school dropout rate for college students in nerdy subjects such as science and math, which in turn affects how our country competes globally in fields such as medicine and engineering. So to me, there can be no innovation in job creation talks without talking about education." And then he further illustrates, he says, "At times, my son gets concerned that his bookish qualities may interfere with his social life. I just remind him that in the heart of hard economic times, 33 out of 50 states increased the amount spent on prisons while decreasing dollars spent on K through 12 and higher education. So while he's worrying about being cool, the job market is getting smaller and competitive, and our government is preparing to send more people to jail. But then again, it starts with me."
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, that's, he pretty much says, hey, look, it starts in the home. We have to create this culture where it's okay to want to be someone who's an avid reader, who wants to be smart. I remember in school sitting in the front of the class, and people would look at me funny. I'd get the side eye from folks because I wanted to sit in the front of the class. And it wasn't because I was trying to be, you know, like a suck-up or whatever to the teacher. It's because I wanted to hear everything they had to say and understand it clearly. And sitting in the back of the class, I wouldn't get that. So
yeah.
there's this culture and this attitude that being a nerd or even being smart is just, I guess, quote-unquote, not cool. And it starts in the home where we should encourage, hey, actually, it's really cool to be smart, because then you're going to grow up and have a really good job and make really good money, because you'll be, you know, some engineer or scientist or computer programmer. So I love the way that article where he says it starts with me.
Yeah. I completely
agree. Go ahead.
No, I completely agree, and you know, I totally lived this growing up, everything you just described there. And I did get, you know, I wouldn't say bullied, you know, I definitely didn't get to that point. But I just knew that people, you know, the other black girls in my, and this is not just an African-American thing. I, you know, growing up in Britain, I experienced this thing. And And I think if it wasn't for just that rock solid sense of my ability of who I was and who I am as a person, then I think I would have never have, you know, I would have never been able to deal with it. But in my mind, growing up at home, it was just not a question. It was like I knew who I was. My example was my parents. You know, it wasn't them saying, do what I say and not as I do. They also did those things. So it was second nature to me. And I think that's what got me through those hard times when, you know, I was looked at strange for, you know, wanting to get, you know, A's and I'm wanting to go that extra. So I completely agree, and that's what I'm doing with my kids. It's like the example is me and my husband in everything that we do. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I kind of feel like we're sort of at a time and a place where encouraging it amongst our kids is getting easier because although nerd still has, you know, a lot of connotations to it, one of the newer connotations to it is that it ain't a bad place to be. I mean, look who's running Hollywood. Look at Comic-Con. Look at, you know, look at tech. Look at the gamers out there. There is this pocket of growing influence on, you know, where nerd culture is having this impact on the entire culture. So it is making it a little easier to sort of encourage my kids to, you know, want to be more interested in certain things, or they can be more interested in things like Legos and building robots and reading books and not have it necessarily be universally shunned by the other kids. Like, a lot of kids get it, even if they're not as into it. I'm finding on the other end, it's more difficult to get the other adults in their lives to invest it, to get the schools to recognize that we should be teaching coding or more math classes or pre-K, not just kindergarten, so that every kid is ready for school by the time they start for school. It seems to me that the social structures we have in place have not caught up with our thinking, and that's part of my job as a parent is getting out there and pounding the pavement and knocking on doors and saying, hey, we need better technology. Hey, we need more classes. We need more this. So it's kind of twofold. Like, this is really where my sort of the job expands. You know, I had this, the biggest part of being a parent was making sure that I didn't break them at a certain point, you know, make sure they're healthy and they're happy. But now it's like, now I need to think of the bigger picture. They're moving into this space where I'm not with them every day. I can't protect them from everything. But what I can do is use my voice and my influence and my time and my energy to invest in these systems to help encourage them along their way.
No, absolutely.
Well, I don't know how you guys feel about the education system, but I know when I was younger, I guess from 20 years, from back in the 80s or 70s, I really didn't feel like school was taken as seriously like it used to be. Like, I wish that more people came around when I was younger that kind of encouraged me to get into math or science or know about medicines or anything like that. And that's, like, I know many of y'all with your children, I feel like it's a duty for me to get my child that education, for her to see there's different things she can do other than, I don't know, just a random degree. I think I want to encourage her to be the best that she can. And if the school system doesn't give her that, I definitely will push her to do other, you know, things to get that, you know, different parts of education.
Well, absolutely. Well, I think part of that argument even goes back to just sort of that cultural idea that girls don't like math, you know, those kind of things. Just, you know, for us on the home front, just fighting that at every turn. My daughter is incredibly bright, understands a lot, is not always sort of encouraged to show that to us. So, you know, even though I'm not a good math student, I don't do anything or say anything in front of my kid that would make her think it's okay to opt out because her mother's not necessarily good at it. She sees me sit and struggle with it. She'll see me sit and work out a problem longhand, the old-fashioned way if I have to. But she knows I'm going to continue to do it, and I'm not going to give up on it. So I don't ever want her to feel like it's not okay to be all of herself and use all of her talent.
Yeah, well, unfortunately for me, I went through school, and no one really caught on that I had a problem with numbers and math, and I pretty much got screwed when I got in ninth grade because I was pretty much almost in a level of math that I almost didn't pass high school because of it, because no one encouraged me to say, okay, you need to learn about algebra, you need to know about trig. And I got to that level, and even I struggled in college. I was in, like, elementary, you know, algebra, because I wasn't really taught that math was serious, you know. Math is something that you're going to need if you're in fashion, if you're in nursing, if you're in any kind of just anything. That's something that I think is very essential, and I think we should all encourage our children, regardless of what major they do, that math is important and science is important, and so is social, you know, social studies skills, because I'm 24 years old and I still use those. You know, it's not like you wake up and you're like, I don't do math every day. You do all those things every day, and definitely I would say it, all the parents, we definitely have to encourage our children to be well-rounded, you know, that they know everything, that they don't get to college and be struggling. And then that's what causes children, to me, to drop out, because they're so far behind, they can't catch up, you know.
I think also a big part of that is in establishing a way to understand how children actually learn, because there's no one that I know of, and no child that I know of, that cannot learn math and cannot be, that cannot excel in math or anything else. But math in particular is a very, is a type of subject where learning style really matters, and how a child learns also doesn't match, you know, in the environment in school. It can be very easy for kids to get lost, and a lot of kids do. And I think that's one of the first things that we really need to fix system-wide in mathematics, is to really implement things that that make math, open the doors of math to more kids and to girls or whoever else, to make it something that they actually find interesting and that they don't find so daunting, because it really doesn't have to be. But the idea is already out there, or that stereotype is already, you know, established that, okay, well, if you don't get math, that's okay, because that's something that was told to me when I was younger, that, you know, I struggled with math for a couple of years because I had a, you know, one of my teachers that left school in the middle of seventh grade, and, you know, we ended up having a gym teacher as a math teacher. And, you know, so I had a big gap in my math learning. And so for a couple of years after that, I struggled. And everybody was just like, oh, it's okay. You know, girls aren't always good at math. And I accepted that for a while until someone really challenged me on it. And I have a teacher who sat down and really understood how I learned math and taught me from that perspective. And it changed, you know, my life and my and the way that I saw it. And just I was became so confident in math that I just, it became impossible to me to think that there's anybody out there who can't learn math, because as much as bad as I was at it, and for me to now be, you know, as good in math as I am, it really upsets me a lot when we allow that to stand and schools don't really put any emphasis in making sure that everyone has access to effective math learning.
Do you think, I'm sorry, I just had a question. Do you think people, you know, if you're coming as from a parent, and this is time talking to other parents here, if you yourself were, it wasn't an area that you did well in or excelled in, do you think that can hinder parents encouraging their children to do better, because it's that sense of, well, I didn't do that great, and here I am really wanting my kid to be good, but who am I, you know, do I have the tools, or do I feel I'm in a position to push my kid in an area that I never excelled in? I don't know if that could possibly be one of the reasons why parents or kids themselves don't get passionate about math, because parents may have not been brilliant themselves.
Absolutely. I struggle with that constantly. 2 years ago, when my son was in third grade and was doing geometry with his dad, I had to take myself to the internet and go to Khan Academy and start teaching myself things all over again. And it was a decision I made so that I might not always be able to help him, but at least I'm going to try to get to a level where I can start to understand it again and I can feel more confident in it. And I've always been very upfront with my kids. But I think a lot of people just have a hard time feeling embarrassed when they don't know something. And if you feel embarrassed about it and that discourages you from, you know, even putting yourself back out there, it is very hard to push that embarrassment aside and focus in on helping your kids get to where they need to be with that particular thing, especially if you're uncomfortable. It's just like how people who don't feel comfortable singing don't sing, and people who don't feel comfortable dancing don't dance. People that don't feel comfortable with math don't do it. But guess what? At school, your kids go to school and they learn math. They might not learn square dancing. They might not have to sing, but they need their math. So you, that becomes sort of an internal. As a parent, you have to sort of, you kind of have to, you know, buckle up and get yourself out there and push. And you're right. A lot of parents don't feel comfortable, so they may not do that.
My blurty role models. There's little to no blurty role models from when we were growing up. However, now, blurred being a new buzzword for us, we're seeing it more as it comes into the fold. Can you think of who would be a good blurty role model today?
Aisha Taylor, of course. Tyler, I said that wrong. Jesus Christ, I'm losing my mind. I love her. She makes me happy. I love her colorful language always. She's very outspoken. I'm not a very outspoken person, so I kind of live through her tweets, and how she just kind of goes off on people if they say anything about black women being nerdy. So she's definitely my role model.
I definitely like her.
Yeah, I like her
and
Tyler.
Yeah. And one person that I know, well, a couple of people actually, now that I think about it, was I've always been fascinated by Dwayne McDuffie, who was the comic artist and everything. And I think just, you know, considering his roots and just how he, you know, took an area in comics where Africans and minorities really weren't, you know, represented, and definitely not in the best light when they were, and he took that on, and they know more. I don't know how many of you know about Dwayne McDuffie, but he's definitely someone that I admired, and, you know, my son has garnered a liking for him also. And then Issa Rae. I don't know if you guys know Issa Rae that does the awkward black girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I love her. I love that show, too.
She's pretty awesome. And there was an announcement, like, yesterday or today that she actually got awkward black on HBO now.
Right. Yes,
yeah.
I'm so excited about that.
Mm-hmm. She's another one who waves the nerd flag. I like her.
I don't know if you know Baratunde Thurston. He wrote a book a couple years ago called How to Be Black.
How to Be Black.
He is super active in activism and social media and Silicon Valley and tech, and incredibly bright, incredibly funny. I love holding him up as an example to my son of, you know, seeing black men in the world who are doing different things and amazing things. I really do like him a lot. I have a geek crush on Donald Glover, so anytime I can insert him into the conversation, it's enough for me.
Yeah. I like Neil deGrasse Tyson. I turned out not to be a science person, but I really, really like how he makes science approachable, and he has a sense of humor, and he can explain concepts very easily. And he, to me, he's like the ambassador of nerds. I just think he's great. I love him.
And I can't wait for Cosmos to start.
I know.
They're redoing it, and he's the host, and I'm super excited about that.
Me too.
You know what makes me laugh is when I hear little girls speak about Michelle Obama, when people talk about things, just a woman like that, just as, well, in the position that she is as a role model as a whole, educated, sophisticated, beautiful, all of those things. And so that gives me nice, warm, fuzzy feelings.
Yeah. And I just want to add. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, Michelle Obama's just the alpha and the omega. She's just in a whole other category for me.
And I also want to add, she's not well known, but, well, she may be in some circles, but we did a feature on her on Black Girl Nerds. Her name is Maya Penn. She's a 13-year-old entrepreneur. She's the CEO of her own company. She creates these environmentally eco-friendly accessories. She's got a website called mayapensideas.blogspot.com. I'll tweet out the link, but she started her own company at 8 years old, and she's
wow.
phenomenal. She was on the Steve Harvey Morning Show. That's how I saw her, and I emailed her, and I was like, I love you. Can I do a feature on you? So I'll tweet out the link, but Maya Penn is a great blurty role model for young girls. So, final question, because it's time for us to wrap up soon. Nerds are often regarded as misfits. We embrace our eccentricities more than others, and we're not built for conformity. Do you believe raising a kid nerdy has its perks, or are there any drawbacks?
I feel like it has more perks than drawbacks. I mean, I definitely want Olivia to be well-rounded. I want her to be in sports. I want her to be, you know, educated. I was always awkward, so I know how that was in high school. I didn't have a lot of friends. I don't know if I hope that doesn't happen to Olivia, but I don't see a huge drawback of being nerdy, really. As long as you embrace yourself.
Honestly, I feel like I spent so much of my life getting to this point where I'm completely comfortable in my own shoes, that if I can do anything and encourage anything in my kids so that they can sort of cut out the middleman and just love themselves wholeheartedly in every aspect from as early as possible, then I'm doing it right. So I let them be nerdy. I'm gonna tell my kids to raise their freak flag and wave it hard and high, and I will do everything I can to support it. So I don't see drawbacks. I just see possibilities.
I feel the same. I feel like I'm a nerd enabler. You know, and that's my job, you know. And just like going back to the beginning of the conversation, that, you know, being nerdy is just about being passionate and, you know, being genuine and being okay with it. And if I can do whatever is in my power to enable that, and I mean, they're definitely going to have their, I guess, social setbacks, which, in my opinion, aren't really setbacks. I think the you kind of, as a nerd and not being, you know, so widely accepted in every circle, that it's easier for you to know who your friends really are, you know, and who you really click with and all that by not having such a huge social circle. And so it might seem that way to them initially, but I think in the long run it's not really a setback. And it really enables them to be the best that they can.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. For me, you know, I think there'll always be those little moments where I think it'll be a challenge, but what I'm most excited about is that my kids will know who they are. I think even the most popular, the most, you know, the conformists of the world, I think more of them are lost than they even know themselves. And so I'm really excited to instill in my kids a real sense of, as I said, who they are, pride in who they are, and I think that will serve them well for the whole entire, you know, for the rest of their lives.
I agree. I'll have realistic conversations with my kid, though, is that this whole process of being comfortable with yourself and embracing your nerdiness, it's going to be an evolutionary process. That I understand what it was like to be a kid and a teenager. I understand the frustrations that you're going to go through. But eventually, on the other side, you'll feel good about it. But there are going to be rough patches. And it's okay to talk about it, and it's okay to be frustrated, mm-hmm. and it's okay to have periods where you want to hide to be being a nerd, and we can talk about it. I'm not going to judge you.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that makes the biggest difference, is having parents or people in your life who understand and who have been there and who are kind of in your corner about it, because a lot of kids are going through that and they don't have anyone they can really relate to about it, you know, and who can look at a down the road perspective for them and help them understand that it'll be okay, you're going to come out on top, you know. And so I think that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
And before we wrap up, Yawanda, we didn't get a chance to get you introduced. So tell everyone that's listening who you are, what you do, and your kids' names and how old they are.
Of course. Thanks so much. So I'm Yawanda. I'm actually work for a technology company, Footworks. We've been lucky enough to hang out with the Blurs for a little while now. And from the UK, originally married a chemical engineer. So there's a lot of blurriness going on in my house right now. And, you know, there are more than 5 organic chemistry books sitting on our coffee table at any one time. No lie.
Wow.
I work for a technology company, and I have 2 kids. I have a little girl. Her name is Fia. She's 2, and I have a little boy, Akinoba, and he is 5 months old. And then I have a whole host of nieces and nephews who are proud and out blurs. So yeah, that's me, and that's my kids, and I'm currently tweeting and having a fun time musing my life as a mama and with my beautiful kids as baby blurs. So yeah, check me out. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Yawanda. Thank you, Shelley, Marilyn, Brittany. Thank you guys so much. Twyla, thank you for appearing on this podcast. I think this was a great discussion. A lot of people are listening and a lot of people engaging on Twitter. And let's do a part 2 on this.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I'm all for it.
I'm all for it, too.
I think there's so much conversation facilitated around talking about nerdiness and parenting and the family, and it is an evolutionary process, so there's so much more to talk about. So thank you guys for coming on the show tonight. Next week, our podcast, we will have Theodis Crane. Theodis Crane played Big Tiny on The Walking Dead. So if you're a Walking Dead fan, tune in.
Oh,
ask him everything. Everything. So that'll be 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday night. Thanks everyone for tuning in. See you guys next week.
Thanks,
Jamie.
Bye.
Finally free. Finally.